Hey, last week we started a lesson on the Holy Spirit, probably one of the most important things, one of the things I love talking about. I love talking about the Holy Spirit. He changed my life when I was 20 years old. I told you I was raised in a Christian home, and I got saved when I was about, when I was 8 years old. I walked the aisle of a Baptist church, gave my heart to Jesus that morning, came back that Sunday night and got water baptized. Come on, thank God for the Baptist. Come on, everybody. And my testimony is I lived right until about Monday. That was Sunday, about Monday. Then I kind of went back to my own ways. I mean, I'm 8 years old. I mean, you know, I'm just kind of like, I don't know how much sin you can get involved in when you're eight, but I pretty much found it. You know, I'm in trouble. I'm in the principal's office. I'm doing stuff. I started taking drugs when I was in sixth grade and smoking and drinking and had some friends that had older brothers and they'd get us high. And so I'm going to church and I'm getting high and I'm just a mess all through junior high and all through high school. And then when I was 20 years old, I went to a crazy party. Don't know how I got home. And I cried out to God on my bed in Tennessee where we were living. And just said, I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm through with this lifestyle. I want you, man. Just something lifted off me, man. I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit just came into my life. I got born. I really believe when I was 20, I got born again. Really, really, really. I knew what it meant. I wanted God in my life. That next Sunday, that was on a Friday, Sunday, and I'm in church and everybody's looking at, dear God, what happened to him? Still looked the same, but something changed on the inside. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Something changed on the inside. 2 weeks later, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. My mom prayed for me to get filled with the Holy Spirit. We're a church that we just believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues, not crazy, but, you know, Paul said that, you know, we talked about speaking in tongues. He said, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than you all. It's a gift that God wants to give everybody. We won't talk about that this week, maybe next week, just to kind of give you some Bible doctrine on it. It's not anything to be afraid of, not anything to be stay away from, that's the devil. That's not the devil, it's God. So we'll talk about that, hopefully maybe next week or the week after that. But for you that weren't with us, what I want to do is I've really kind of had in my heart that we just kind of do a little bit of a review, add them some new stuff from where we were last week, and then get in some new stuff. Let me set the tone for where we're going to go at the end of the service. So let me set you up. Everybody that's in junior high, everybody, our junior high, the kids aren't out there today, or outside, are they? They're here today? Right? They're here today? Yeah. So junior high, if you're in junior high, if you're in Vibe, if you're in junior high, senior high, if you're in college, university, if you're a young adult under 30, what I want to do is at the end of the service, I want to pray for you that you get filled with the Spirit. Come on, everybody. God said, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Come on, somebody. Come on, come on, come on, everybody. I believe he wants to do that for all of us. So let's go back and look a little bit where we were last week and get you caught up to where we want to go this week as well. Luke chapter 24, this is some of the last words. We'll read these two scriptures that Jesus said, Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1. Last scriptures that are recorded by Luke from what Jesus actually said. Notice what he's telling his disciples, Luke 24, verse 49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, check this out, just as my Father promised, just as my Father promised. But stay here, Jesus says, stay here in the city, this is Jerusalem, until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, comes and fills you with power from heaven. It says there, stay here until the Holy Spirit fills you with power from heaven. What we know is that Jesus was in Bethany and he took them out as far as he could. Jesus took the disciples as far as he could in his earthly ministry. And he says, but you need something else. I'm going to go away. I'm going back to the Father, but I'm going to send somebody to you. We'll talk about this, what the Holy Spirit's going to do in your life next week as well. The Holy Spirit now, Jesus is saying, is going to come into your life and he's going to be your teacher. Just like I was your teacher for 3.5 years, you're going to have somebody who's not going to hold you by the hand. You're not going to be able to see physically like me, but who's going to be with you for the rest of your life, not only for ministry, but for your life being a mom, a dad, a school student. He's going to be with you forever. He is now going to be your teacher. And what we know from Scripture is that this just wasn't for them. This is for us today. He is our teacher today. He said that he's going to come in your life. Look at that scripture. There it is again. The Holy Spirit's going to come into your life and he's going to fill you with power from heaven. He's going to fill you with power from another place. So this isn't going to have anything to do with your education. This isn't going to have anything to do with your with some kind of natural equivalent. This is going to be God the Father, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, sending you and I this person called the Holy Spirit. Now, here's a sister scripture that Luke writes, because Luke wrote the book of Acts, and here's what he says in Luke 1:8, Amplified Translation. But you shall receive power, here's these different words, power, ability, efficiency, and might, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the very bounds of the earth. So Jesus tells these guys, again, last words that we have, recorded words, go to Jerusalem, wait till you receive the promise from the Father. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, going to fill you with power. He tells them there, you're going to receive power, you're going to receive ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Evidently, what they had up until that point wasn't what they needed to carry the torch and carry on the assignment for what God had for them. They were going to need some power beyond natural power. If that was so for them, I'd say it's so for us. You're going to need another power source. You're going to need another power supply. You're going to need another person that's just like Jesus, but another person to live with you, abide with you, stay with you, lead you, guide you, direct you, talk to you, teach you, counsel you, help you. And this person, we're going to find out, is the person of the Holy Spirit. He then told them, you know, he just kind of like summarized some things. He said, you know, guys, I suffered and my physical body died and I was resurrected. And again, I'm going to spend the rest of my life, if you will, in heaven with the Father. And now your job is to take the torch. Your job is to take the baton. Your job is to take the assignment and be a witness everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, a witness, a testimony of the Word of God, of the plan of God, of the purpose of God, of who Jesus was, of what Jesus did in his earth walk, and now in his ascension at the right hand of the Father. And to make a difference everywhere you go, you are going to need power. You're going to need power. You're going to need power. I told you a couple weeks ago, my first car was a 1974 CJ5 304 V8. Guess what my second car was? When I spent all my money, I didn't have any more money to fix that Jeep because it kept breaking down because I go trail riding. My next car was a 1971 Volkswagen Beetle. Can I get a woo in the room? Can you imagine me, 6'2½ in a Volkswagen Beetle? Come on, I was like this. Come on, you ever seen some of those older ladies who drive like this and their faces up on their steering wheel? That was me. And something about, if anybody ever had a Volkswagen Beetle? Anybody ever had a bug? Okay, come on, we got some old people like me. Come on, nobody young, everybody over 60, let's go. So you come on, those gears, 4-speed, you're wee, 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 wee. You top out like 58 miles an hour, man. It's not a car for Southern California. And I remember, we lived in Tennessee, and I remember I was a counselor when I was 20 years old. I was a counselor at a camp in North Carolina, and North Carolina's got a lot of mountains and a lot of hills. And so I drove over there, and my Volkswagen, you know, I'm like hell's on wheels going downhill. Come on, somebody, but uphill, woo! Come on, I got people passing me on bicycles. Come on, somebody. There's no power. There's no power. You know, some of our lives are kind of like that. And you're cool going down. You're cool going downhill. Life's on track. I got some money in the bank. Come on, I'm caffeinated. Carlos is feeling that over there. But when you're going up and all of a sudden all hell's breaking loose, have you got power to get through over that mountain? Come on, everybody. That's the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to fill you with power. I'm going to endue you with power. I'm going to endue you, different translations, endue you with power. It's a quality, it's a spiritual quality. That's not a natural quality. I'm going to endue you with power, one translation says. I'm going to clothe you with power. I'm going to equip you with power. Evidently, we need something in our life that we don't currently have. We need someone to cooperate. We need to cooperate with this someone in our life that we need to know more and more about. Now look real quick to Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, as he's standing up, the Holy Spirit's already fell. These guys got filled with the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in tongues. Man, people came from all over to hear what was going on. And Peter starts preaching to these people. Check out what he says in verse 33. Now he, meaning Jesus, is exalted to the place of the highest honor in heaven. That's where Jesus is. He's at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, notice these words, the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. So let's get our doctrine straight. When Jesus was exalted to the right hand of the Father, the scripture says right here that the Father, he was the one that promised it, but the Father gave him, Jesus, the Holy Spirit to then pour out on us. So theologically correct statement would be, Jesus gave me somebody just like himself because he knew I needed him. Amen. Come on. Wow. Let's read this next scripture. Verse 39. Come on, verse 39. Acts 2:39. This promise, check this out, is to you. Come on, say it's to me. This promise is to you and to your children and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. The Holy Spirit filling, the Holy Spirit awareness, knowing, is for all generations, for all time. So we said this last week. Look on the screen, this statement one more time, a couple times. I guess a couple thoughts we'll read. God's design and desire for your life is to be under the influence, the direction, the enablement, the leadership, and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is God's design. This is God's desire. That you stay, you live your life under the influence, under the direction, under the enablement, under the leadership, and under the power of the Holy Spirit for your entire life. We said this last week that God's power and God's people is God, the Holy Spirit. God's power in God's people isn't education, isn't making things that are broken fixed as man can do, phenomenal things. It isn't scientific discoveries and all that's amazing, but God's power and God's people to enable them, to influence them, to lead them, to guide them, to direct them is God, the Holy Spirit. So I'm convinced that if we'll recognize him more, if we'll cooperate with him more, if we'll yield to him more, how we do that, we're going to start seeing more and more Holy Spirit, God activity in our lives, in our marriages. We're going to start seeing it in us as, you know, struggles and strongholds maybe that you're dealing with. We're going to start seeing those things lessen and lessen and lessen because I've got somebody with me who's called a counselor. I've got somebody with me who's called a teacher, just like Jesus. I've got somebody with me who's called a helper, who's called a strengthener, who's called a standby, just like Jesus. He's with me. And he's not only with me, but now we're going to find out next week, he's moved on the inside of you. With is cool. You know, when I'm with Kimberly, woo, great. But when I'm not with her, she ain't in me. We're with each other. The Holy Spirit, Jesus could only be with them. But now the Holy Spirit, who's just like Jesus, perfect in unison, perfect in unity, perfect in word, perfect in spirit, the same, he's living on the inside of you. He's inside you. Come on, everybody. So I gotta learn to flow with that. I gotta learn how do I tap into that? Because everything that I'm dealing with and you're dealing with is about these five senses. What I see, what I smell, what I hear, what I taste, what I touch. It's all in this world, and it's all getting me up in my feelings and my emotions and my mind's lying to me and on all this stuff. But now I got a greater one on the inside of me who's going to cool my jets, who's going to calm me, who's going to speak. Come on, tell me to stand up and speak to that mountain and that difficulty and that challenge. And the way it is doesn't mean the way it's always going to be. Come on, somebody, help a preacher out this morning. Come on. Wow. Somebody wave a hanky. Come on, somebody wave a hanky. Man, so if the Holy Spirit, come on, is God's power source, then one more time, you just must need him. I don't need to be scared about him. I don't need to be like, you know, maybe some of you all that you came from a different church or a hyper whatever church and it was, and it was swinging from the chandeliers and you don't ever know what's coming on and praise the Lord. And yet the Holy Spirit's real. I don't see Jesus. I don't see freaky Jesus. Can I say that? I don't see a freaky Jesus. I don't see a Jesus I gotta wonder about. Now there's some things, if you're around Jesus, you're kind of going, really? Let's be real. Really? A brother's blind and Jesus goes, well, I got a remedy. Spits on the ground, makes some clay. Really? Really? Somebody dies, your best friend dies, Lazarus, and you take 4 days to show up? Really? I thought we were friends. I thought I asked you to come. But I'm going to cooperate with him because the brother got out of the grave. Come on, everybody. Yeah. Yeah, so he knows what's up, so I'm going to stick on his side. We said this last week that the Genesis account, when you read the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, we find out that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and it says this chapter, verse 2, that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the earth. Remember that? One translation says it was waste, it was empty, it was void, it was undistinguishable. But the scripture says this, the Holy Spirit was hovering over that. Hovering over that. So the minute you give in to and think, well, this is the way it's always going to be, it's dark, I'm full of fear, there's anxiety, there's worry, nobody's liking me, everything's bad in my life, I can't get out, I'm stuck, listen to me. The Holy Spirit loves that kind of environment to show the power of God. Come on, everybody. And so the Holy Spirit, it says he was brooding over. He was brooding over. He was scrutinizing. He was waiting. One translation says he was expecting. He was hoping. He was just kind of like if you will, just give me the word, God. Come on, Father, just say the word, and I'm going to get busy doing what you called me to do, what I'm called to do. Come on, just say the word. Come on, get that picture. Come on, get that picture. We've got my son-in-law, Tony, he's got three of his family members. They're Chula Vista PD. Come on, give it up for all our sheriffs and our police department guys, our detectives. Come on, come on. We can clap better than that. Come on. Yeah, we love these guys. We love them. And so he's got his family members and his brother, Tony's brother, he's with the canine unit. And come on, man. I'm all about a dog that listens. Can I get an amen? My first dog, we named him Noah, and he was the stupidest dog in the whole wide world. We had him for 2 years and gave him away. Man, I'm telling you. Seriously, we gave him to the mailman. Come on, thank God for Andre. We gave him to the mailman. I mean, literally on a Sunday morning, Kimberly would go to do worship, get early with the people, and I'm with 4 kids. Come on, we had 4 kids. I'm trying to get everybody ready for church while she's going, you know, at the church getting ready for, you know, the service and the worship. And I'd open up the door for Noah to go in the yard, just go to the bathroom, and Noah would bolt out the door. And so, you know, I'm a pastor. I just get my dog running wild in the neighborhood. So this is back in the suit and the tie day. Come on, everybody. And so I'm running around the neighborhood. No. The neighbors are looking at me like, what a loser, pastor. You know, he can't control his dog. He's not worthy to control the church. I mean, I don't know. You know, people are crazy. But anyway, this canine. So Tony told me that his brother's doing this canine thing. They were doing a thing at Chula Vista Amphitheater last year. And so I went down and I'm sitting in the amphitheater. And they had that dude with the big old, what do you call it, Jason? Got a big old fat suit. What do you call it? A fight suit, a bow bite suit, sorry, fight suit. I thought he can't hit nobody in that suit, come on. It's all the puffy stuff and they put it on right. And so they got the canine and the canine was just like this. He was like looking at his master, just say the word. Just like, if you just kind of look at me, I'm out of here. And that canine took off and he just grabbed hold of, come on, you've seen them, they grab hold of the arm and they shake the fire out of that guy and bring him down to submission. This is what the Holy Spirit is just, listen to me, he's ready. Come on, somebody, the Holy Spirit's ready. I just wish, come on, come on. It's like the Holy Spirit's just saying, I just wish you'd lift up your hands and bless the Lord. I just wish you'd lift up your voice and let me get busy. Come on, everybody. I just wish you'd speak life over that dead situation. I'm about to bring heaven to that hell. Come on, everybody. Yeah. Yeah. Man, so here's what we said last week. What we find in Scripture is that the Holy Spirit comes into lives that are without spiritual formation, purpose, and empty, and transforms them into the image of Jesus. So this is what God wants to do in your life. We've got a slide that we saw, an image on the screen. Do we got that, Amy? That slide? We said this last week. Just maybe you've never heard this. Maybe you've not been around it. Notice, top left, we've got the Father, we've got the Son, and we've got the Holy Spirit. Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we're all on the same page. The Father is not the Holy Spirit. The Father is not Jesus, it's the Son. The Son is not the Father. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. But they're three complete different people. We could say it that way. Complete harmony, complete unity, complete accord. In heaven, the Father, on the earth was the Son, who got filled with the Spirit. In the Genesis account, we see that God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. And God blessed the man, said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and you know the rest of that. So what we see, even from creation, is that we see the Trinity. We see we see more than one. And the person that the person that seems to have gotten the short end of the stick, if you will, in the Christian world, and definitely the world at large, is the person of the Holy Spirit. He's co-eternal. He's co-equal with God the Father and with Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you. He's not someone to be avoided. He's not someone to be scared of. Just like if you see Jesus, he's not going to scare you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to bless you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to speak life over your life. And so again, what we said a moment ago is that in the Genesis account, what we see is that when the Father started speaking, the Holy Spirit started moving. When God the Father started speaking, the Holy Spirit started moving. 10 times it says in Genesis 1, and God said, and God said, and God said. And whatever God said, it happened. How? The Holy Spirit was brooding, waiting, expecting, hoping, and he then fulfilled the word of the Father. So this tells us that the Holy Spirit is going to move in your and my life according to God's word, by God's word, through God's word. Someone said this, the word was spoken so it could be written, and it was written so it could be spoken. The word of God is supposed to be continually uttered, spoken, sung about, spoken out, confessed, through your and my lips. You're not a creator. I'm not a creator. God is. But he wants us to cooperate with his word, and you won't even say it. I won't even utter to say it unless I believe it. I believe the authority of the word. I believe you want to work in my life. I believe you want to work in my... It's easy to say, my marriage is done. It's over. It's through. I hate her. She hates me. The kids, they're on drugs. They're whatever. It's easy to see it in my 5 senses. It takes faith to believe something and speak something that my senses are lying to me about. But I can see what God wants to do. I can see what he wants to work in my family. I can see what he wants to work in my body, my mind, my past, my marriage, whatever it is. So God's asking you and I for the written word to become a spoken word in your life and to agree and cooperate with what God said, and let's start seeing God start moving in a new way. Timothy writes this, or excuse me, Paul writes this to Timothy, and he says this, that the Word of God is God-breathed. The Word of God is God-breathed. It's God-breathed. That it carries the Spirit, it carries the power, it carries the creativity, it carries the authority of God, the Word of God. So my admonition to all of us is that we would read the Word more and we would speak the Word more. Amen. Over your life, over your mind. Come on, mind. Come on, mind. Quit thinking crazy thoughts. I'm going to fill my mind with the Word of God. I'm not going to fill my mind with HBO or IG or TikTok or Netflix or Hulu. I'm going to get a little dab of that, but I'm going to fill my mind, come on, with the Word of God, with the plan of God, with the purpose of God, and I'm going to let it dwell in me. Paul writes to the Colossian church, and he says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly, because whatever's in you in abundance is going to come out of your mouth, Jesus said. So make sure the Word of God is working in you so that there can be creativity, there can be authority, there can be transformation that happens in your and my life through the power of the Holy Spirit confirming the Word with signs following. Amen, everybody. Do you remember when Jesus was water baptized? We've read this, seems like off and on for the last 3 or 4 months. It's just this one part of the scripture. That when Jesus was water baptized, the scripture says that he was there in the Jordan River. One translation says, while he was in the Jordan River, he was praying, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, came upon him, and a voice came from heaven, the voice of the Father, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen? Come on, remember that? Come on, this is my beloved Son. So check this out. After the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, the scripture's real clear, he heard the voice of the Father. He prayed, and when he prayed, the Holy Spirit, so we have the Trinity, we have Jesus, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus as gently like a dove. Not, he wasn't a bird that came on Jesus, he wasn't a dove, he came down lightly, gently, like a dove on Jesus, and he was filled with the Spirit, but when he was filled with the Spirit, he heard the Father's voice. So I'd like to just submit this to you, that the closer that we get to the Holy Spirit, the clearer the Father's voice is going to be. The closer we get to the Holy Spirit, the closer I lean in. I say, you know, Holy Spirit, I know you're here. I know you're backing up the Word. I know you're the Creator. I know. I can see what you've done in Scripture. I want to hear you more. I want to listen to you more. Give my heart a hearing heart. I want to read the Scripture. I want to understand what you're saying. Talk to God just like that, and you're going to start seeing some stuff happening in your life. I find it interesting in the Old Testament that we see the Spirit of God moving in different people's lives, and it's really interesting. Maybe you've never seen this before, but I think it's pretty intriguing, the first person that got filled with the Holy Spirit that we see in the Old Testament. Check this out, Exodus chapter 31, verse 3. This is what God told to Moses, and he's speaking here. He said, I filled him, this certain man, I filled him with the Spirit of God. I gave him great wisdom, great ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He was a craftsman. He's a master craftsman, verse 4 says. Expert in working with gold and silver and bronze. He's skilled with engraving. He's skilled with mounting gemstones. He's skilled in carving wood. He's a master at every craft. This is a dude, the first dude in the Bible, the first person in the Bible wasn't a pastor, wasn't a minister, wasn't a prophet, wasn't a priest. The first person that was filled with the Spirit in the Bible was a dude working with his hands, was a business owner, we'd say, was somebody in the marketplace. Bring that over to today. Every person that you've got a job, the Holy Spirit wants to fill you to do your job better, to do your job with ability, with efficiency, with power, with might. We talked about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, every believer is in the ministry. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you with His power to be a witness, we read a moment ago, but also to work and craft and to do and to, technical things. And whatever job you're called to do, let the Holy Spirit come upon you. Let Him be within you to do your job more effectively and more efficiently. He's going to give you wisdom. Come on, He's going to give you ideas. Come on, He's going to cause you to increase, be more efficient, cause you to get a better paying job. Come on, everybody, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Yeah, yeah. Now what we see is that really the Holy Spirit's not going to interrupt your life if you don't want Him. He's not going to interrupt your life. And so again, one more time, it's just like Holy Spirit, help me. I can't tell you how many times, you know, as a pastor, I'm reading the scripture here, but I know. Come on, have you ever looked at something and you go, I'm just not quite getting this. I know I've seen it. I know there's more there. I don't want to make you optional in my life, Lord. And after all these years, me trying to figure it out, me trying to like microwave a meal. Come on, the meal was good when it was cooked, you know, before, and I was digging and I was kind of getting some stuff, but I don't want to just kind of reheat something up. Give me something fresh, Lord. Come on, I want to hear you. I need you in my life in school. I need you in my life on the job I'm in. We got some problems. We got some serious things that nobody can figure out. But I know you know how to figure out. I know you know how to figure out. So I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you, Lord. The prophet Samuel came to a guy named King Saul who wound up being a mess. But he says this at first, what's going to happen in his brother's life. Check it out, 1 Samuel chapter 10. We doing all right, everybody? Come on. Hang with me for about 7-8 more minutes. Come on. Y'all got 7 more minutes? Come on, 7 and 14 and 21. Praise the Lord. Bad pastor joke, sorry. Come on. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. Check it out. The Spirit of the Lord. Come on. Samuel the prophet says this to Saul. The Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. Different translations. I've added a bunch of translations here. Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. He's going to rush upon you mightily and powerfully. And you will prophesy with them, this group that's there. And you're going to be turned into another man. You're going to be changed into a different person. I don't know about you, but I've seen some people that they got filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just like, Shazam, who are you? Come on, somebody. Come on, like you just changed. Come on. You gave your life to Jesus. You let the entrance of the word come in you. It's just changed. You look different. Come on, you look younger. Come on, somebody. Come on, God's giving you some wisdom. You can lead things that maybe you couldn't lead before. You're excelling in different things. The Holy Spirit will come upon your life and He'll change you into a different person. Remember Peter. Peter, when Jesus is in the courtyard denying Jesus 3 times, he's there at Pilate's court, and Peter's outside. Remember that? Remember that story? He's warming himself by the fire, and he's denying Jesus 3 times. No, I wasn't one of them. He's denying him to these little girls. But Peter is one of those dudes who was waiting for the Holy Spirit to fall. He was in that upper room, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2, talks about and details this sermon that this brother preached after he got filled with the Holy Spirit. The scripture says 3,000 people got saved that day. So just 10, 12, 13, 14, 14 days earlier, whatever it was, 13 days earlier, he's denied Jesus. He's saying, I don't even know him. 13 days later, he got filled with the Spirit, and he's a different person. Don't tell me God can't change your life. Come on, everybody. Come on. Come on. Come on, stand up. You've been sitting for a minute. Come on. Help me, Carlos. I'm going to read this last scripture. As I said earlier, I just have it on my heart all week long. I want to pray for every junior high student, every high school student, every college student, every university student. I want to pray for every person in the room that's under 30 years of age. I want to pray for this next generation. I want to pray for you. I want to believe God with you. I want to believe God that the Holy Spirit comes on your life in power. Just where you start sensing Holy Spirit, divine activity. Somebody asked me this recently. Kimberly and I got married in 1984, where before most of y'all were even born. And I went to Bible school. Nobody in my family was a pastor. I didn't know any pastors. No evangelist, no teacher. I mean, I was in university. Between my second and third year of university, I surrendered my life to Jesus. And all of a sudden, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to church and I'm reading the Word. And all of a sudden, God starts putting a desire in my heart I never even knew was there. That God wanted me to be in full-time ministry, wanted me to go to Bible school. I'm in college, and I'm that dude, you know, sorry parents, but I'm that dude that I still lack 12 credit hours of graduating and getting my BA. So my dad was like, he godly man. He said, you know, Gary, just get your degree. I said, but dad, I was 22 at that time. I said, but dad, I got to go to Bible school. I got this burning in my heart. I believe God's called me to ministry. And he was like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, God can change you into somebody you're not. Come on, I believe we got pastors and prophets and evangelists, teachers. Come on, I believe we got workers in the marketplace, entrepreneurs. Come on, just like the Spirit of God came on this brother, that he was a craftsman, he was expert wisdom, that something happens when somebody says yes to the Holy Spirit. If Jesus changed these 12 crazy people, disciples, and changed them, that they would then give up, 11 of them, would give up their life, crucified upside down, Peter, sawn asunder, heads cut off. All those that said yes to Jesus. But listen to me. If you could ask them now, which you'd probably get a chance in heaven, those last years of their life after Jesus left and they said yes to the Holy Spirit were the greatest years of their life. God used them beyond what they could even imagine. I'm just a fisherman. I'm just a tax collector. But the Spirit of God came on them and changed them to be different people. I want that for this generation. I want that for every generation, but specifically for this generation. Micah says this in the book of Micah. He's a prophet in the Old Testament. He says this in chapter 3, verse 9. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord. I am filled with justice and strength to boldly declare Israel's sin and Israel's rebellion. This was his job. This was his assignment as a prophet. But he was filled. He was filled with the Spirit of God to stand up against culture, to stand up against sin and the regime that was going on in the land. Listen to me. I believe every person in the room, but specifically for junior high, senior high, college, university, everyone under 30, you're working. I believe everyone just like this. You need to have this testimony. I am filled with power. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's called me to do something beyond my, I can't even see it. Eye as a seen, ear hasn't heard. Neither's entered the heart of man the things God's prepared for them, but God will reveal those things to you by his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2. The Spirit searches all things, the deep things of the heart of God. Who's known the mind of God but the Spirit of God that's in a man? The Holy Spirit will begin directing you, speaking to you, clearing the path, bringing mountains down, raising valleys up. Begin bringing ideas into your life, people into your life. So listen to me. Just like the prophet Samuel says to Saul, when you leave here, you're going to meet a band of people and they're going to be prophesying. And when you get around that, you are going to be changed into another man. Today, I believe God is changing us to be more and more like him by and through the Spirit of God. So come on, all over the room, your junior high, your senior high, come on up here, let me pray for you. Come on. Come up out of your chair. Help them, ushers. Come on. Just come up here. Come on. Come on.